This is the Radio Walensky Podcast. I'm Richard Walensky with new and archive interviews from the Probabilities and Bookwaves Art Waves programs on KPFA FM and Pacifica Syndication. My guest is Aya De Leon, who is a novelist and poet. She is the Berkeley Poet Laureate. Aya De Leon is the interim program director of the Bay Area Book Festival. That's baybookfest.org. The festival is this coming weekend, June 1st and 2nd. What brought you to the role of interim program director, and exactly what did that mean?
Well, I've been a fan of the Bay Area Book Festival since it began. This is our 10th anniversary. And I've been involved, you know, in little ways initially, and then was programming committee. And, you know, I just always like to shout out to those who've paved the way. Really big shout out to Sherilyn Parsons, who had this vision for a festival in the Bay Area in Berkeley and built it over time. And, you know, I had a small child when the festival first started and would find myself on the internet drooling over these amazing book festivals elsewhere in the country and could never get to them. You know, when the Bay Area Book Festival popped up, I was just like, oh my God, I've got to get involved. And so I've been involved in a number of ways over the years. And, you know, this year when there was a bunch of leadership transition, I was asked to come in and help out. And it has been such an incredible joy. You know, I'm someone who's done different kinds of programming and curation over the years. And I also feel like the timing was really good politically this year because, you know, I have a background in political organizing, activism, civil disobedience, etc. And this is such a key year. You know, the festival is 10 years old and we were living in a really different world in 2014. We thought we were sort of on our way to a Clinton presidency and, you know, some more neoliberalism leadership. And 2016 took us in this totally different direction. If we look at, you know, what's happening with the climate crisis and what's happening in Palestine, I'm just really grateful for the opportunity to bring all that I know, all the different kinds of skills and networks that I have to bear on the kind of book festival that I think is really needed in 2024.
When did you exactly become the director, and what was already set up when you walked in?
The thing that I'm so grateful for is there's an incredible infrastructure, amazing staff. There's a new board this year, and I'm also on the board. But I think the most important thing that was in place was this incredible infrastructure for creating the entire festival. That is the youth day, the adult day, all the vendors, all the relationships with the various workers. I just feel like I'm trying to demilitarize my vocabulary, the masses of volunteers, and really just 10 years of incredible goodwill among authors, funders. You know, there was just so much in place. And the other thing that was also in place is a really robust system for inviting authors, publishers, and publicists to pitch authors with new books. So we had, you know, hundreds of pitches when I came on board at the end of 2023, folks who wanted to be part of the festival. So we started with that and with, you know, visions of who we wanted to see. And, you know, it's certainly very much a collective effort between the board, the staff, and, you know, I ran around talking to lots of different artists and authors and folks that I know, you know, asking like, what do you all want to see? Also, big shout out to Claire Calderon, who had worked for the festival in the past, who was one of the first people that I talked to about who she was excited about. Because, you know, one thing for me, I've been publishing a lot of novels, which I'm proud of, but it means that I've had my head down, been doing a lot of publishing. I also teach. I'm an active parent. So I don't always know what's coming out and have really relied on my community for that and got incredible suggestions. We're really excited about the lineup.
Aya De Leon, let's go into some of the details. And I have a couple of highlights here The biggest highlight is Joan Baez talking about her poetry book with Greg Saris, who worked on that documentary about her. So where is that and what time is it?
Yes. So Joan Baez is one of our headliners. And on Saturday, June 1st, she's going to kick off the festival from 5:30 to 7. The title is Legendary Artists on Identity and Remembering Vulnerability in Creating Across Genres. And that's going to be Joan Baez and Greg Saris at the Freight and Salvage in Berkeley. And that's a ticketed event. We only have a couple of ticketed events, but it is an incredible opportunity to see Joan Baez and Greg Saris in conversation.
Also, June 1st at 7:30, amazing book, Doppelganger, Naomi Klein. Is she going to be interviewed or give a speech, or what's that one?
Naomi Klein is going to be in conversation with Brooke Warner about her book Doppelganger, but really Naomi Klein has had such a phenomenal career. It's always about more than one book with her. You know, she has done incredible work around the climate crisis, incredible work around just big picture, thinking about our culture, our politics, how the entire U.S. is organized. She's, I believe, living in Canada now, so perhaps she'll have an even stronger perspective on the United States now that she's living elsewhere.
Also on June 1st, a couple of panels maybe you want to go into a little. Navigating Publishing is one. Writing Historical Fiction is the second one. And then there's Writing Workshops.
So one of the things that has been really incredible this year for me was the opportunity to really think big picture about what the community needs, right? As a larger community of writers, readers, both with published authors and with aspiring writers. So one of the ideas that I had was for us to do a whole day of free writing workshops for the community. And that's just going to be an incredible opportunity because we have the Berkeley Public Library. We have a couple of big rooms in the library. And so we have 10 writing workshops and panels. As you mentioned, one is a panel on publishing with agents and editors and other professionals. But most of the workshops are workshops with the incredible faculty here in the Bay Area. Some of the faculty are coming out of community organizations like Left Margin Lit and Page Street here in Berkeley, and others are faculty members, graduate students, and others in the incredible MFA and other writing programs at colleges and universities. And there are also workshops for elementary school students and teens. So those are all free, but you do need to go to baybookfest.org and RSVP for those workshops. But they're free, and I think it's just an incredible kickoff on Saturday before the two headliner events you mentioned. And then Sunday is going to be more of, you know, what we've been doing for these last 10 years and what everyone looks forward to. The wildly full downtown Berkeley, everywhere out in the park, in the street, in various venues, panels, readings, stuff for families and kids, signings. It's going to be the usual fabulous literary pandemonium.
There's a panel on California, crime fiction, decolonizing diets, identity resistance and shared history, sexuality and queerness, indigenous horror, poetry panels, food panels. I do want to mention one panel, though, because it involves Tommy Orange, Amy Tan, and Jonathan Lethem. The National Book Critics Circle. Do you have any idea what they'll be talking about?
You know, I don't know. That's one of the things that's always amazing on these panels. You kind of have to be there, right? Because these folks have written the books, and the books, of course, are available. But it's really, there's a certain alchemy when you bring a particular group of authors together. And that's part of what's so great about having panels, is that it's not just the interviewer asking each individual author questions. It's also that cross-pollination of those authors in conversation. So absolutely, the National Book Critics Circle is doing a fiction and a poetry panel, as you mentioned. That one's really exciting. We've got some big superstars there. Also, there are two headline events on Sunday. One is a free headline event that's focusing on the election. And Steve Phillips, who is an author who deals a lot with policy and electoral politics, he wrote the book Brown is the New White about the new American majority. And he really did the research to show that at this point in the United States, that coalitions of people of color and progressive whites could really win any election for either the Democrats or other more progressive forces. But those candidates would actually have to have a progressive platform, right? Which is so often lacking. So that was a critical book that came out in 2016, which unfortunately has not been the Democrats' approach. But he has a new book out called How to Win the Civil War about strategies to defeat white nationalism. And so he'll be talking about the election. And this is one of my favorite events and what seems to be one of the most timely events. Steve Phillips will be in conversation with Maurice Mitchell, who's the national director of the Working Families Party, and also Ashley Henderson of the Highlander Institute, which does organizing in Appalachia in the South. And moderating that panel will be Latifah Simon, who is a longtime Bay Area organizer, who is also happens to currently be running for Barbara Lee's seat in Congress. And, you know, one of the things that I've been doing in a lot of my programming in the past few years, for example, in 2022, I organized a conference called Black Literature versus the Climate Emergency. And my model was to put authors in conversation with organizers. Because I think, you know, as someone who really wants to see the world change, I'm always overjoyed when authors are putting out ideas that have to do with changing the world. But ideas aren't enough, right? We have to have organizers actually doing the work of organizing people and building the power and the people power to make the change. So I'm really excited about that election panel, where we really will have this really national perspective of different experts, particularly Black experts, talking about how to protect our democracy, how to protect against fascism, and what are the real strategies that our communities need to get involved in. I'm really excited about that. The electoral panel is during the day and free at the Freight and Salvage. We're hoping to pack the place. Also on Sunday, we have another incredible headliner event in the evening that is ticketed, a panel on TV adaptation. And that's going to be Piper Kerman, who wrote the book Orange is the New Black, which became a successful Netflix show. Viet Thanh Nguyen, who wrote The Sympathizer, which recently went to HBO. And Alka Joshi, who wrote The Henna Artist, which is in development at Netflix, talking about this new era of television where powerful, interesting, complex, and diverse literature is actually being adapted for TV, which, you know, for me as a Gen X person who came up in the 70s and the 80s, I never thought that was going to happen, right? So I'm still a little bit in shock, but it's really exciting to talk to these authors about what those journeys are of adaptation. I'm also super excited. We have a really wonderful panel. We have several wonderful panels talking about climate. We have climate poetry, climate nonfiction, and climate fiction, you know, and in all of them, we're going to be looking at hard truths, but also with a really hopeful perspective. And I think it's critical for us to maintain that perspective around climate, because there's a lot of bad news, and that's true. But the reality is that we still have time to solve the climate crisis, to address the climate crisis. We do. Oh, I see you. Now, see, this is radio. They can't see you shaking your head, but I can. And what I have to say is the scientists are telling us that we do have time. The question is, will people take the action? And really the question is, will we as a species take the collective action. And the real question is, will those of us in the global north, who are the ones causing the problem, who have the corporations that benefit from the problem, will we figure out how to build the people power to shut that down? And you know, I have to tell you, Richard, I don't know if we will do that. But what I will tell you is that the scientists have told us that it is possible. And those of us who work on climate, that's what we're trying to make happen. And with Naomi Klein, I remember years ago when she was on tour with her book On Fire, The Burning Case for the Green New Deal, one of the things that she said was like, at any point around the climate crisis, you know, there are always paths that we need to fight for to save as much as is possible. Because here's the thing with the climate, we're not going to go back. Like, there's nothing we can do at this point to go back and like solve it so that things go back to where they were. That's not going to happen. And scientists agree on that too. The question is, will we in the future and for future generations have a livable planet? And that is the thing that scientists are clear that it is still possible to do, but we got to get on that. So that's why we have three panels on climate in fiction, nonfiction, and poetry that are focused on hope and action.
I was just reading an article today saying that most scientists feel since we're not doing anything and that the politics seem to indicate we won't, that it's kind of a losing battle.
That is one of our biggest challenges of this time. So in addition to being the interim program director at the Book Festival and an author, I'm also a lecturer at UC Berkeley, and I have a lecture that's part of a new climate justice class. I also organize for climate justice with the Black Hive, which is part of the movement for Black Lives. And one of the things that I was talking about in a recent lecture that I contributed to a UC system-wide climate justice class is exactly what you're talking about. The perspective that since we have not been able to build the large movement that is needed to create these political changes, since we haven't been able to do it, we won't be able to do it. And I think of that as disinformation, because I think that the people who really benefit from that perspective are the people who profit from fossil fuels, to tell us like, well, since there's so, you know, there's not a lot of time left, and you haven't done this, so you've already lost. So you should just go home. The biggest thing that we are fighting is our inability to vision a different kind of world and our inability to imagine how we get from here to there. And it's interesting because for me, that really comes back to the climate fiction. So I write novels about climate. And when most people think about climate fiction, they think about these futuristic dystopias, right? After there's been some disaster and now they're living in a changed world. People find those very powerful, very entertaining. I think that people should read and write whatever it is that they enjoy. And I have been pushing for us to really diversify what we think of as climate fiction, because one of the problems with having climate fiction be these futuristic dystopias, they all presuppose that we will fail now. Right? So currently what we call climate fiction is a literature of failure. And one of the things I'm working on, all my books are about women of African heritage who are going about their working class lives, not really thinking about the climate crisis, and bam, something happens to them and they are affected and they have to decide to take action and to engage. And they decide that they're going to become part of movements or become part of efforts to address the climate crisis. And I think that that's really kind of what everyone's being called to right now. If we want to make these changes, then everyone's going to have to participate. And we're not talking about recycling anymore. We're talking about participating in a movement that can push and build power to change our society, in all of our societies, in these very deep and fundamental ways. And the great news about it is that in order to solve climate, we'll have to solve all these other issues that people have been fighting and committed to solving. We have to solve issues around gender and care labor. We have to solve issues of racism, because if there weren't any racism, the climate crisis would already be solved, because most of the people who suffer in the climate crisis are people of color and people in the global South. we really have to solve issues of economic equality and economic exploitation, because the mechanisms of exploiting people economically are the same methods of exploiting the earth and burning fossil fuels and devastating our environment and causing the climate crisis. So that's why we talk about climate justice, because all of these problems not only intersect, but so do the solutions. And for me, that's what is really fun in writing these novels, that I write these sort of sexy thrillers that are also about climate justice and about people fighting for climate justice and all the other justices that are connected to it.
One final question. You're going to stay on as program director for the Bay Area Book Festival?
Oh, definitely not. I am the interim program director. And this year, the timing was incredible because I was only teaching one class in the spring. I needed work, and the timing really worked out for me this spring to be interim program director. And I really feel like, as an organizer and as an author of color in a huge network of authors of color, I really put my stamp on the festival with a particular kind of political viewpoint and really, really strong representation for women, people of color, queer folks, poor and working class folks, and lefty folks, really strongly represented. Also through one of our sponsors, Grayton Rancheria, we have a really powerful Native stage, a lot of Native representation. So the timing was really, really good for me to be the interim program director. But moving forward, it won't be me. But, you know, I hope to continue to stay involved because I love the festival. I love the community that it's built. And as an author, I'll always want to be involved because it's such an incredible opportunity to have people coming together to talk about books, to talk about ideas, and to talk about the kind of world we want to create and participate in creating it.
If people want to sign up, because many of these events require signing up beforehand, they can go to baybookfest.org. What if they want to show up on either the first or the second? Would they just go over to Freight and Salvage?
So on the first, in the evening for our headliner events, those are ticketed events. So you should definitely go to the website to see if they've sold out. But if not, you should be able to get tickets at the door. And that is for Joan Baez and Naomi Klein. Or on Sunday night for Piper Kerman, Alka Joshi, and Viet Thanh Nguyen. On Saturday during the day, that's when we have all of the workshops and publishing panel. And so those, you should also go online to RSVP to see if there are still spaces in those free workshops. But on Sunday during the day, everything is free. None of those panels, readings, etc. are ticketed. Folks can just show up. And a lot of the stages are outdoors. So even if there's a person in every single chair, there's no fire code to keep you from standing around in the back. Our only indoor venue for most of these larger events is the Freight and Salvage, and the stages are outdoors, but the workshops are at the Berkeley Public Library downtown branch.
You've been listening to an interview with Aya De Leon, who is the interim program director of Bay Area Book Festival in Berkeley on June 1st and 2nd. And for more information for the program, you can go to baybookfest.org. Until next time, I'm Rich Walensky. Radio Walensky usually posts every week on Sundays. You can write to me either at bookwaves@hotmail.com or richard@kpfa.org. You can find other Radio Walensky podcasts in the Area 941 section of kpfa.org, or you can go to bookwaves.homestead.com or richardwalensky.com for a complete listing of all digitized recordings. You can subscribe to Radio Walensky via iTunes or follow Richard Walensky radio shows on Facebook.